As is written in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, reading from verses 1 to 7. Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. This is the word of God.
Good mornings, and today we come to chapter 5, and to verses 1 to 7. So let's open it together, that passage that our brother Peter read to us. Ephesians chapter 5, and verses 1 to 7. One day when you come and visit our home, we'd love you to do that. I've got a picture in our lounge of my father when he was about 5 years of age. He's holding a cricket bat, and he obviously was being bowled to by his father, my grandfather. And right next to that is one where they got a close-up of him. And it's quite staggering to have a look at that photograph, because it's almost, you would think, a split image of one of my sons. You had to put my son next to that photograph when he was 5, you would hardly be able to tell the difference. Something went wrong with me in between, but it's there. And you know, when folks come and they say, isn't it incredible? Look at the likeness that's coming through from grandfather to father to grandson to great-grandson. It's quite staggering, and it's a lovely thing to see. Now, friends, that's what we're going to see this morning. In the previous 4 chapters that you and I have been through, the Apostle Paul has marvelously describe the gospel to you and to me. He has described how you have been drawn out of your sin and darkness into the family of God. You've been made of a child of the living God. You now belong to the family of God. Now, in the same way that your children will look like you in some ways, and act like you in some ways, so it's going to be like that in a spiritual sense. So look how chapter 5 and verse 1 opens. It says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. This morning, I want to speak to you for a few moments before communion on walking in love. That's going to be the theme of our study in these opening 7 verses. Just for your interest, next week from verse 8, we'll show you how we are to walk in light. But just today, walk in love. And notice the first thing is the plea. The plea is clear and strong. And it says, be imitators of God. Brothers and sisters, that's an amazing thought, isn't it? Yeah, the whole world has been captivated by this World Cup soccer. And all of these men are going to be heroes all over the world. And people, the small kids, will be trying to follow these great soccer players. But for you and me, as Christians, it says, be imitators of God. We stand in awe before His Majesty. I'm sure that the thought comes to you and to me, how can we imitate Him whom we cannot even fathom? Be imitators of God. And yet as we listen to that challenge, we remember that we are made and created in His image. That image, we know, has been ruined and affected by sin. But because of the rebirth, and because of the work that God has done in your heart and life, the Holy Spirit has now come to live within us. And because the Spirit of God is living within us, it's through His power and through His working that you and I are slowly going to become more and more like our Father. It's by His regenerating and transforming grace that we are going to be able slowly to become imitators of God. How do we do that? As dearly loved children. It's exactly the child who is the object of love that will be the most eager imitator of those who love Him. Jesus, my dear friends, has saved you and me. And the great longing in all our hearts this morning now is to respond to that love. And how do we do that? But by seeking to become an imitator of God. But secondly, notice under the plea, in what specific area? See verse 2? And live a life of love. Love is to be the very tenor of our lives. It's to characterize all our thoughts and all our words and all our deeds. So the plea to you and to me this morning, it's not to the world, because it's impossible for the unconverted to live like this. This is not a plea to any person. This is a plea to those who by God's grace have been born again. To those of us who are saved, the plea is, be an imitator of God and live a life of love. How do we imitate God? By living a life of love. That's the plea. Secondly, notice the pattern. The apostle beautifully now shows us how this life of love ought to be lived. See verse 2? It says, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So who's the model? The model is Jesus. Always. Live a life of love. Just as Jesus did. We are told, dear friends, that it was Jesus who loved us and gave himself up for us. That was the model of Jesus' life. He was with the Father and the Spirit in glory and in all eternity. And there was a moment in time when Jesus said, I'll give this all up. He emptied himself of everything. And he came to our world. And he died on a cross. He gave his life for you and for me. You see, it is the giving of oneself to others which is the epitome of love. Biblical love is not a pleasant emotion or a good feeling about someone. It is the giving of oneself for others' welfare. This divine love is unconditional love. This love depends only on the one who loves and not on the merit or the attractiveness or the response of the one loved. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus loved you. And what did he do? He gave his life for you. In just a few moments, you and I are going to come and kneel at this communion table. And that's what you're going to remember. That piece of bread is going to remind you that greater love has no man than this, when he will lay down his life for his friend. That Jesus died for me. You're going to take that cup, friend, and on your knees, you're going to drink it with humility. That's going to remind you that Christ loved you, laid down his life for you, shed his blood as a sacrifice for your sin. That's what Jesus did. And this death and love of Jesus is a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to the living God. That's what Jesus did. And now he says to you and to me, be an imitator of God. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So not just on Father's Day, but I hope that all of us dads, one day when we get to heaven, our children will be able to say to us, it's not all the money Dad gave us, not the great education that Dad gave us, but the great thing that Dad gave me is he loved me. And he loved me. And he gave his life for me. What a great thing that would be. The plea? Live a life of love. The pattern? As Jesus gave his life for you and for me. Just the third thing, notice in verse 3 and verse 4, the perversion
And very sadly, friends, you've all heard that before, that whatever God has established, Satan will counterfeit. See the first word in verse 3? But. You see, live a life of love, but. Circle that word, because now the apostle is going to show us what there must not be in our lives as we seek to live this life of love. He says, but among you there must not be even a hint. Not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed. Because these are improper for God's holy people. So you see what the apostle does for us? He now turns our attention from self-sacrificial giving to the very opposite. He now turns to the self-indulgent, to lust. He says, Christian, there must not even be a hint in your life of any form of sexual immorality or of impurity, because you're a child of God. What a word for 2006. A day where there's so much immorality, so much adultery, so much divorce, so many affairs. Christian goes into our immoral world, and there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. In verse 4, he gives us some practical illustrations of what we must be careful of and get out of our lives. The one is obscenity. He says there should be no obscenity in our lives. That's a general word, if I may share that with you, of filthiness. That will include any thought, any imagination, any desire, any word or any deed that in any way would detract from the law of God with regards to these things. There must be no obscenity in your life. There must be no foolish talk or coarse joking. Well, you're a Christian. He says these things are out of place. To hear a Christian telling a dirty joke, it's out of place. Or a joke below the belt, it's out of place. You see what he's saying? The most beautiful, the most honorable, the most pleasurable thing that God has given to a man and his wife is a sexual relationship. It's so pleasurable and beautiful and holy, it's preserved for the marriage. When it gets out of marriage, it's wrong. And it's sinful. And it's filthy. And it's lustful. Gets away from what God wanted. It's preserved for a marriage. So for you and I, on sexual things, don't even let there be a hint. Not a hint of coarse joking. Not a hint of dirty words. Not a hint of magazines. Not a hint of pornography from the internet. Nothing along these lines. Why not? be an imitator of God. Live a life of love, but be careful. Stay away from what Satan has taken as beautiful and he's turned it into lust. So we've seen the plea. We've seen the pattern. We've seen the perversion. This lastly, my friends, if I may, the punishment. Look at verse 5. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Don't let anyone deceive us. See? Very clear there, verse 6. Because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. So now there's another reason why you and I as the Lord's people must be absolutely sure that we are living a life of love, that there's no part in our life for the sexual immorality or obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking or anything like this. But here's the other reason. It is because of such things, God's wrath is coming upon those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers of them. In fact, go up to verse 5. Of this you can be sure. Hey, brothers and sisters, isn't it a strong word today? See verse 5? You can be sure of this. That no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. No inheritance. Now that is a very, very strong word there. John Stott in his commentary is very, very helpful there. There may come sadly occasions when a child of God may fall, they can repent, be forgiven, and by God's grace be restored. But for those men and women who continue blatantly and willfully to continue in sexual sin and willfully to keep on disobeying God's will, what do we say to them? My friends, God's wrath is going to be upon your life, and your lifestyle is an indication to us that you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, you must repent, or else you're never going to enter into the kingdom of God. So Stott put it like this. Those who know what God's law says, but willfully disobey it, God's wrath will fall on them. It will begin even now, but it will culminate on the final day of judgment. So verse 7, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Well, let me close. Can I do that just as we come to communion? Just as I try and pull these threads together then, what have we learned this morning? The positive, my dear friends, as you come to communion now, you come to remember Jesus who loved you and who gave his life for you and gave up everything for you. It was self-sacrificial love. Jesus says to you and to me who are saved, now be an imitator of God by the Spirit working in your life and live a life of love. Always be giving and giving and giving and giving in a self-sacrificial way. What's the negative? Don't allow what God has made to be holy and pure to be degraded into something that's idolatry and lust. My friend, even here this morning, we are all sinners saved by grace. But has God put His finger on someone here, and you playing with sexual things? Your family don't know that. You clicking into the internet, and you clicking into all of these pornography places, and it's grabbing you. I want to say to you as a brother, get out. Stop. Are you living with somebody out of marriage? I want to say to you, my brother, my sister, get out. You're playing with fire. Do what is right. Do what is right. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. These things have no place for a Christian. Follow Jesus. So the positive is, live a life of love. The negative is, have nothing to do with sexual immorality. Let's pray together. Lord, your word is very strong and very clear. And I pray that the evil one would not take away any seed sown. Help us by your Spirit alone, because by ourselves we are weak and self-centered, to live a life of love. And Lord, in a very immoral world, not to in any way be a partaker of sexual sin. Might you be with us, Lord, as we now come to Holy Communion and to remember Jesus, the one who loved us and died for us. Amen.